Turn your Bibles. We're going to go to Genesis chapter 3. All right, we'll be in verses 1 through 6 here. So if you go ahead and stand with me for the reading of God's Word. The Bible says, "Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, Ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, Ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, Ye shall not surely die. For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that was pleasant for to the eyes, and the tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat." So, everyone knows Genesis chapter 3, the fall. Very, very familiar passage. That's the word I was looking for. Words. So, in the verse, it says, the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field. The snake, or the serpent, is very subtle. He slithers around the ground. Sometimes you can't even hear the snake. We all go out in our yards, and sometimes we get scared by a snake because we can't see it. We can't hear it. It's subtle. But what was even more subtle about this serpent is that this serpent was indwelt by Satan. This made him even more subtle. Satan has powers that we know not of. So he said, he went to the woman, and he said unto the woman, "Yea, hath God said." Let me tell you, church, Satan is still saying these things today. He's trying to undermine God. He says, "Yea, hath God said." And so he also said to the woman, well, the woman says, "We can eat of all the trees, except for the one in the midst. If we eat that one, we shall surely die." And Satan said to her, "You shall not die. Because if you eat it, you're going to become like God." Another way Satan tries to deceive us, he says, we can be like God. And the serpent said unto the woman, I already pointed that part, "For God doth know in that day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil." And the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise. And she took the fruit, and she ate it. And not only did she eat it, she brought it to her husband Adam, and he ate it. Thus sin entered into a perfect world. So I'm going to talk about Satan and how he deceives us even today. Now, first off, who is Satan? Well, Satan was the right-hand angel of God. He was second in command. He made beautiful music. He was in charge of music. He was perfect. Because when God made the world, he made everything perfect. That was until sin was found in him. Now, my last message I preached was on the pride of Satan and the pride of man. So now we know that Satan's sin was pride. He wanted to be higher than God. He says, "I will raise up to God. I will become the Most High. I like the Most High. I will. Pride. God created the angels to serve him, just like he created man to serve him. But pride got in Satan's way. And so God cast him out of heaven. Now Satan's number one job, his number one thing he wants to do is to deceive the people of God. You see, God made man in his own image. We are the crowning achievement of God's creation. God loves us so much. God had Adam to rule over the garden. But now, Satan wants to destroy man. Because he wants to destroy what God loves. You can read more about Satan and how he was as Lucifer and his fall in Isaiah 14 and Ezekiel 28. So now we know a little about who Satan is. Now I want to talk about who Satan is not. Church, Satan's not your friend. The sin that Satan brings your way in temptation is not fun. It may seem that way, but it will destroy you. Satan is not some guy in a red suit with a tail and a pitchfork. Another one of Satan's deceptions. He wants to look like a cartoon. He wants the world to see him as a cartoon character. He can't hurt me. He's just a little guy in a red suit. What is he going to do to me? Satan's powerful, church. We can do nothing against Satan without the help of God. Satan is not some weakling that we can smash, trample, punch, or any of those kid songs that are so undoctrinal. We can't, like Brother Combs, you know, put him in a box and smash his face. We can't do that. He'll eat our lunch. We have nothing we can do to Satan without God. But the most important and the most joyous thing I see that Satan is not, is he is not the victor in the end. He doesn't win. He tries to win. He thinks he's going to win, but he doesn't win. Now here's some names in the Bible that we see of Satan and some of the works behind those names. In Revelation 12:10, the Bible says, "And I heard a loud voice saying, in heaven now has come salvation and strength, and the kingdom of God and the power of his Christ, for the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our day, for our God day and night." He's called the accuser. We saw in Job that Satan went to God and tried to accuse Job. Oh, God said, have you considered my servant Job? And Satan's like, he's a sinner just like all the rest, but the only reason I can't do anything to him is because you're protecting him, God. Take away the protection and see. He comes to accuse us to God. He also accuses us to ourself. He brings up past sins and says, "You see how bad you were? Why would God love you? You see that bad thing you did? Why would God still love you?" He's an accuser. He's also called the God of this world. In 2 Corinthians 4:4, the Bible says, "And whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them who believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them." So he's the ruler of this world, or the little g, God of this world. That means he has influence, that his influence is allowed in the world. God has allowed Satan to influence the world. We see that he influences culture, religion, opinions, hopes, views. See, God has his word out there. But for some reason, God allowed Satan's influence in the world. You ever wonder why our world is so broken? People are being blinded by Satan, who is the ruler of this world, the God of this world. It says in the verse, he blinds them. And that's the way he wants to keep them. He wants to keep them blind. Because if they're blind, they can't see the truth. They can't see the light. He's happy to pull the wool over the eyes of the sheep so they can't see what path they're on. If we can't see the path we're on, how do we know we're on that narrow path? Wide is the path of destruction. Narrow is the path to life. If we can't see the path, we probably end up on the path of destruction because it's so wide. You also see that Satan is called the tempter. In Matthew 4:3, the Bible says, "And when the tempter came to him, he said, If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread." A lot of people who did not read the scriptures think of temptation all wrong. They say God tempts you. Oh, God gives you temptation in your life. God gives you trials. He doesn't give you temptations. In James 1:13 through 15, the Bible says, "Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when the lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Satan is the one who preys on people's lusts and leads them into sin. And through that sin, he leads them to death. So now that we know who Satan is, who he is not, and some of the names and deeds that Satan does, now we can talk about the many, many ways that he deceives mankind today. I'll only talk about three. I'll try to get you all out of here on time tonight. So the first way that we see Satan questions God is a false way of salvation. We've all heard of all these false ways of salvation. I'll go over a few. There's the magical prayer, or, hey, just say these words with me, and if you said these words, guess what? You're saved and you're a Christian. Just because you said the words. These TV preachers, these prosperity gospel guys, that's what they want you to do. They want you to just say the words with me. Just say it. If you say it, it's going to be true. No. You got to repent. You got to turn away from your sin to Christ and then live the life after and show your fruit of your salvation. It's not just some magic prayer. Oh, I'm magically saved now because I said a prayer. Another way of false salvation is salvation by baptism. People believe that if you get baptized, you get saved. Our neighbors are one of those who believe that. They think that that washes away all your sins. But then, what happens if you sin again? Do you have to be baptized again? I mean, there's so many questions around that. The charismatic crowd likes to say, oh, well, you need the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Well, in Acts 2, Peter says, be baptized and you will get the Holy Spirit. Folks, as soon as we repent of our sin, turn away from our sin, trust Christ as our Savior, we are indwelt by the Holy Spirit. We don't need a Holy Spirit baptism. We have it. He's inside of us. Calvinism says that God chooses who's going to be saved, and he chooses who's not going to be saved. They say, well, don't you believe in God's sovereignty? I do believe in God's sovereignty. I believe that God knows who's going to be saved from the beginning and who's not. But that takes out free will, which is a big doctrine of God. He gave us free will to choose. If we had a choice, we wouldn't have a choice if God said, oh, Brother Frankie's going to be saved at this time and this date. Brother Cam's not going to be saved. Sorry. I love you, Brother Cam. Salvation by Jesus plus anything else. Salvation is in Christ alone. It's a free gift. Our missionary just said that. It's a free gift. If we have to do anything to earn it, it is not a free gift. Salvation plus works. You have to be good to get to heaven. Guess what? I'm not good. I know none of y'all are good. None of us are good. Jesus said to the man who came up to him and called him good master, he said, why callest thou me good? There is none good except God. God is the only one that's good. So how can our goodness ever win us salvation? It can't. And then the popular one of talk show hosts and news hosts alike. Oh, there are many ways to God. Oh, the Arabs and us, we have the same God. Oh, those LDS, we have the same God. There's just a different way, different path. Didn't I just say that wide is the path that leadeth to destruction, but narrow is the path that leads to life? How is that a many ways to God salvation? So if you look in the scriptures, you'll never find in the context of the scriptures any biblical backing behind any of these methods of salvation. It's like Satan saying, You know, did God really mean there's only one way to be saved? No. Did God really say that Jesus is the only way? Are you sure about that? Here's what Jesus says about salvation. In John chapter 14, verses 1 through 7, the Bible says, "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know." Thomas saith unto him, "Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way?" Jesus saith unto him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. If ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also, and from henceforth ye know him and have seen him." Jesus says, he is the way, the truth, and the life, and no man goes to heaven to the Father but through him. In John 10, verse 1, the Bible says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber." That's Satan. Satan comes into the sheepfold a different way, and he's a thief and a robber. I do not have time to read all of John 3. John 3, verses 1 through 21. Let me try to get that in. It's a great, great chapter on salvation. If I had marked my Bible, it would have been easier. John chapter 3, verses 1 to 21. The Bible says, get the right page. "There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, Ye must be born again." I love that in the King James. Ye. That means all of you. In the modern version, it's just you. So you think of, it means, oh, he's talking to me. Or he's just talking to Nicodemus there. No, the ye in the King James means all of you. That means everyone. Ye must be born again. "The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh, and whither it goeth, so every one that is born of the Spirit." Nicodemus answered and said unto him, "How can these things be?" Jesus answered and said unto him, "Art thou a master of Israel, and knowest not these things? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, we speak that we do know, and testify that we have seen, and ye receive not our witness. If I have told you earthly things, and ye believe not, how shall ye believe? If I tell you of heavenly things, and no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting," or have eternal life. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God." I'll stop there. Great passage on salvation. Jesus says he has come to the earth to give man everlasting life, and that we condemn ourselves if we don't believe in him. There are many more verses that Jesus Christ and many of the prophets wrote about salvation, but I don't have time to go over them. But they're there, so just look them up. So I made the point about what Jesus said about salvation to prove a point within a point. We're talking about a false way of salvation here. So almost, do you know almost every perversion from the doctrine of the Bible comes from taking Scripture out of context? They take one verse, or even part of a verse. For God so loved the world. Oh, God loves the world. He doesn't want to do anything bad to us, or He won't send us to hell because He loves us, right? It's taken out of context. You have to read the Bible in context. It's important. Go five verses before and five verses after and see if there's anything that helps make that point. Go farther. There's chapters. There's doctrine in the Bible that spans chapters. You have to read the Bible in its context. Man takes pieces of the Bible and adds his own philosophy to them to make it sound okay. And who's behind that? Satan's behind that. He's questioning the Word of God, as he always has. Yea, hath God said. Is this Bible really what God said? Did God really say these things? Are you sure? Oh, he didn't mean them that way. In this world today, it means this. But maybe back then it meant that. But today it means this. Folks, God is outside of time. He's not bound by time. So his words that he's preserved through the ages are as good today as they were yesterday. They never fail. We know that Satan knows the Scriptures. When he went to tempt Jesus, he tempted him by speaking out of context of the Scriptures. He used the Scriptures to try to tempt Jesus. He knows the Scriptures. He knows what God said and what God has preserved. But he purposely gets behind people to put out, oh, well, this is a better version of that. We may have cut out 1,500 verses, but it's a better version. It comes from a better line. Better line of Yahoo's. He muddles the Scriptures by a sheer amount of perverted versions there are. There's churches out there that will say, okay, here's our Scripture for the night. We're going to go Genesis 1 from the ESV. We're going to go Genesis 5 from the LSB. We're going to go NIV. They use four or five different Scriptures in there, but all of them say a different thing. They're translated differently. So, to me, that's deception. You're deceiving people. Folks, stay with the King James Bible. Make sure that when you study, you always look for the context. Pro tip. Pray that the one who truly wrote the Scriptures will guide you into the knowledge and truth of them. That would be the Holy Spirit. God used the Holy Spirit to inspire these men to write these words. Don't let Satan muddle your view of salvation. He's already done it to the whole world. And now churches like ours are fighting hard to get people back. Because so many people are going to hell through these false ways of salvation. We also see that Satan will send false teachers. In 2 Corinthians 11:14 through 15, the Bible says, "And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works." So if Satan disguises himself as a messenger of light, which he does that, you know, Satan could be sitting in this church. And he could look the part because he knows the part. He knows the part. He disguises himself as an angel of light. And so he also teaches ministers to be preaching righteousness, but they're really preaching falseness. We already went over how Satan will say, did God really mean that verse that way? Did he? He didn't mean for you to interpret it that way. No, he meant you were to interpret it this way. Man's philosophy muddles Scripture. But it's not only churches anymore. There's not all, we have, let's see, there's too many to count, but we have all these methods of social media, TikTok, Instagram, Facebook, YouTube. And we have all these people on there spreading falseness. And guess what? People watch it and eat it up because they don't know the truth. These people are on these social media sites because they couldn't make it in a church. The church denied them because they don't have the right doctrine. So they get on social media and say, I'm going to get thousands of followers and they're going to listen to me this way. Church, I'm going to warn you against listening to people on these sites, these social media sites. Don't go there unless you know you have discernment. Don't go there unless you know the doctrines. Because all this is going to do is confuse you. And that's exactly what Satan wants to do. He wants to confuse you. He wants you to listen to what he says and say, God didn't say that. Here's what God really means. He wants to muddle it. He wants to take you out of the church. He wants to ruin your testimony. He wants to ruin your life. If you don't have the discernment, stay in your church listening to your preacher. Here's what the Bible says about false teachers. In 1 John 4, verses 1 through 3, the Bible says, Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is God. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, wherefore ye have heard about that it should come, and even already in the world. So if somebody is preaching a way of salvation or teaching you from the Bible and it's not Jesus Christ is the way, guess what? They're a false teacher. Because Jesus Christ is the only way. In Colossians 2:8, the Bible says, Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. But we need to be like the Bereans. We need to match everything we hear spoken in church, and we need to go back to the Bible, and we need to match it. Preachers who preach the truth always want the people to go and search for it themselves. Because guess what? If I'm giving you something false, come tell me. Because maybe I mistyped something, or maybe I misread something, but tell me. I want to know the truth, and I want you guys to know the truth. Match everything you hear to the Scriptures. You know, a big downfall today is that people are relying on somebody else to study and to teach them about the Scriptures. Now, I'm not downplaying pastors and preachers. Listen, I'm not. They have an important job. I pray that God will allow me to have that important job someday. But the people need to read the Bible themselves. They need to study the Bible themselves, because then they get to know why they believe what they believe. Folks, be in your word and use it to try the spirits, whether it be of God or whether it be of Antichrist. And the last way I'll go over that Satan wants to deceive you today is this thought of humanism, or I can be my own God. An idea that's running rampant out there is Satan telling the world that each and every one of you can have your own truth and your own way of morality. You can be in charge of truth. If it doesn't sound true to you, then it's not true. That's a very dangerous way of thinking. You know, you get sort of the things we're going through today with this line of thinking. Alphabet crowd, abortion. You name it. Satan's out there just in the ears of people. Hey, did God really say male and female? There can be 1,000. There can be 1,200 genders. It's okay. You can identify as whatever you want. Did God really say anything against homosexuality? I don't think he said that. It's in there, folks. Jesus preached against homosexuality. If truth and morality depend on who you're talking to, and it changes person by person, you're going to have a society that falls into chaos. And that's exactly what Satan wants. He wants chaos. Because if you have chaos, then it's hard to get order back. And the order is from God. God's truth. But Satan wants you to think, just like he said to Eve, God knows if you eat that fruit, that you'll be like God. And you'll know good and evil. Satan's still using that today on mankind. You know good and evil. You're made from God. God made you to be a God. Our LDS brethren say that. When they die, if they're saved, they get to become a God. Not only does Satan say you can have your own truth, but he also says you can be very God in your life. He'll say, didn't God, in the Bible it says God created Adam and Eve to rule over the garden, right? And everything in it. That means he wants you to be God. He wants you to rule this world. He wants you to do that. That's what God's saying. Satan wants you to believe that you can make your own luck. Ah, Sebastian got that job because of his own luck. Because Sebastian's such a good guy. God opened the door. And Sebastian followed God through the door. Oh, Mrs. Wolverton over here. She did so good on that because she made her own way. No, God opened the door and she followed God through the door. Folks, no one can ever be God. There's only one God. Here's what God says about himself, being the only God. In Exodus chapter 20. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods afore me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven, on earth, in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them, for I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children, unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me. Stop there. Brother Combs is going over the Ten Commandments on Sunday nights. I implore you, go, if you've missed any of those, go watch them. It's been a fantastic study that helps us to put our thinking of reverence to where it belongs. To God. Isaiah 44, 6 through 8, the Bible says, Thus saith the Lord, the King of Israel, and his Redeemer, the Lord of hosts, I am the first, and I am the last. And beside me there is no God. And who as I shall call, and shall declare it, and set in order for me, since I appointed the ancient people? And the things that are coming and shall come, let them show unto them. Fear ye not, neither be afraid. Have I not told thee from that time and have declared it? Ye are even my witness. Is there a God beside me? Yea, there is no God. I know not any. God says, I'm it. God says, he told Israel, tell Israel I am. I am self-existent. I need nothing to help me. God is God, folks. And we can never ascend to be like God. We need to make sure that we're giving God the proper reverence and not elevating ourselves in our pride. which is exactly what Satan did. Now, I know most of us here know the wiles of the devil. They know how he tries to deceive us. But like it said, the serpent is more subtle than anything. Satan's subtle. He'll bring it up to you just in a little bit here. You know, a pet sin. That's okay to have that sin. It's just one. God will forgive you. Then it grows into two. Then it grows into three. Then it grows into four. By time you blink, your life is full of sin. And you don't have that relationship with God. And that's what Satan wants. He wants to break your relationship with God. You know that Satan can still tempt the most devoted Christian. In Luke 22, verse 31, the Bible says, "And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat." Satan still wants to destroy your testimony. 1 Peter 5:8, the Bible says, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour." He wants to devour you. He wants to nick away at you, piece by piece, until there's nothing left. And what can you show the world of your testimony as a Christian? They say, "You're a hypocrite. You're doing the same things that I'm doing. So why should I go trust your God?" He wants nothing more than to kill and to steal. John 10:10, the Bible says, "The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. And I am come that they might have life, and they might have it more abundantly." He wants to kill those who have not had the chance to hear the gospel and steal their eternal life. He wants to steal your joy. Christian, Satan wants to steal your joy. He doesn't want you to have joy. Guess who does want you to have joy? God does. He wants to kill your testimony so that you can't go talk to other people about God because they won't believe you because you're a hypocrite. To end, how can we resist Satan? In James chapter 4, verses 7 through 8, the Bible says, "Submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh unto you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded." It says here that if we submit ourselves to God, we'll be able to resist the devil. If we're walking in the relationship that we should have with God, if we're in our Bibles daily, if we're praying daily, praying all the time, all throughout the day, if we're walking with God, we can resist the devil. Ephesians 6:10-13, the Bible says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand." I'm shouting out Brother Combs tonight. Brother Combs, not too long ago, did a series on the armor of God. I implore you again, if you haven't heard those, go listen to them. They're great. I'm not shouting out Brother Combs for brownie points. I'm just saying there's been two series recently that speak to how Satan tries to come at us. I hope all of us listening to this message will be more aware of Satan's deception and will be more prepared when temptation comes our way.